We are going to talk about Canada this morning. I want to give you a report and a presentation on what happened a few weeks ago when we sent a group up to work with our missionaries with the church in Canada. One of the things that we did while we were there, just happened to be there in the town, in the capital city of Quebec City, is we did a little walking around on the evening before we were to come home. And one of the places I went into was one of their large Catholic church buildings, and it's one that's it's still in use, but they have it open for tourists to come in and look, take pictures. And you know, John has come for years and talked to us about Catholicism really declining in Canada and there being frustration from the Quebec people over the money that's spent on these large buildings. And they really are amazing. I've never been in one. And so it was kind of interesting for me going in because I feel so bad about the theology that's taught. I feel bad about the abuse of or misuse of money and those kind of things. But I walk into this building, and just as a human being in an enormous, impressive building, I was really in awe. And so a few of us were in there. Steve was in there. And so we're walking around, looking around, and I'm just trying to take it all in, really. It's just an amazing structure. And so looking up at this, I'm just looking all around, and Steve had sat down in one of the back seats, and he turns back to me, and he says profoundly, "How'd you like to change those light bulbs?" Well, that's our guy over building and ground, so I guess that's appropriate. But this was our fifth year to send a team from this congregation to our missionaries in Canada. And the first year, remember, Greg and Nick went. They went that year, and the building project was tied up in red tape. The city would not let them work on it at that time. They've had a lot of hurdles to deal with. And so then the following year, four of us went, and it was still tied up in red tape. We couldn't work inside the building, but we went that year. Next year, we took a large group. Last year, a little smaller group, and then this year, the group this year. So this is a picture of a few of the members of the church there in our group. 3 years ago, this is what the building looked like. And so, you know, a reminder that this was originally an old barn and then converted into a automotive mechanic shop, and then now conversion into a church building. So just 3 years ago, this is what it looked like on the outside. When we went with our large group, we did a lot of work that looked about like at this point. And now this is what the building looks like. It's really quite a difference. One of their goals was, as far as trying to reach the lost in Canada, if you just meet in a rented space, if you just meet in a home, which they could have done, you seem like a sect. You seem like a cult. You seem like a fly-by-night group that's, you know, who are they? They're weirdos. They're not legitimate. They're not permanent. And so the goal was to overcome that with a place like this, and they're really accomplishing that. This is our group that went this year. Part of what I want you to know as a congregation is we all went to Canada, okay? Every year our people go. Our people pay about three-fourths of their way to go, and the congregation pays, or three-fourths or four-fifths, but the congregation pays a portion of that. And so you did that again this year out of the budget. Funds were used to assist those that went, and funds were used to give toward building supplies. And so this is something we do as a congregation. This year, most of what we did was sheetrock. This is something that's required. One of the code thing that is required regarding fire safety. And so, John, this wasn't known at the beginning, but some of these things are known just further along. Now we need you to do this. And so we're putting up 5/8 inch sheetrock. Only reason I say that is we carried a lot of it upstairs. It doesn't look heavy, but after a while it is heavy. I carried a lot of sheetrock, okay? There's a part of the building there under at the stage where the podium is that's open to the top. So it's maybe 20, 25 feet high. And that's at the top of that where we did sheetrock there. That was the most difficult there. Jessica doesn't, this may not look impressive, but she's at the very top of that. She's working at, this is up on scaffolding that we put together and kind of ghetto rig a little bit because of the baptistry having to work. You should have seen it. Anyway, this was probably not real. It was safe-ish. Anyway, Jessica's at the top, and she said this, you know, this kind of stuff didn't bother her because her dad trained her, worked her hard as a kid doing construction things like this. This is on the side, still is high up, and you know those boards don't look like anything, but they were longer and heavier than what it's going to look like. I want to show you just a brief video, but just to tell you that just to set up a platform where we could safely work on some of those areas was quite an undertaking. And for our, this is part of what we accomplish when our group goes. What you know, five or six can do is much different than what John can do by himself, and so. This was our guys working up there putting up sheetrock in an area above the side of the stage. If it looks like I'm holding this board up by powers of the force, that's exactly what was happening there. I used a lot of my special abilities. What's neat about this building is the wood that's used in it, so much of it is repurposed. And so it just adds to the beauty of it. It adds to the building really speaks a message, especially in contrast to Catholicism that's fading. In fact, there's a cathedral there in their town that would seat, he said, 400 to 600 people. On the Sunday morning we were there, they had 17. And so you can see how that has declined. And it's declined in a way that the general population has a sour attitude toward Catholicism, which in by extension is Christianity in their minds. And so I just say that this building really, it communicates a message of humility. It communicates a message that what they've put together there, it's important to them. It's very important, but it's humble and it's beautiful. This is the back. If you're looking at the building from the outside, on the left side of it, there's a long room. And this is the very back of it. This is where the kitchen will be. And when we left, we had arrived at this point, putting up sheetrock. And so it made quite a bit of difference there. The strangest thing happened, you know, when we had a couple teenage boys with us, Jackson and Cooper, and when you cough, you know how you cough into your hands so you don't spread your germs everywhere? They teach you to cough into your elbow now. That's so much better. The strangest thing, I caught these two boys coughing at the same time. I was really impressed by the teaching they had been brought up with. Part of what we do is just cleaning and helping. We did some cleaning on the building that, especially when you're messing with sheetrock, it makes a huge mess. We cleaned the baptistry. And I just wanted to show proof that these two young men actually did do some work. They did do some work on the baptistry. And then they did do some goofing around, too. Oh. I mentioned that the building was converted into an automotive shop. So when John started on it, that's what he's dealing with. There, if you'd see to the left of where they're standing, you see some metal steps. This goes down into the pit. So this building had a pit where, of course, you drive a vehicle over and then work underneath the vehicle. I think this kind of fascinated me. They turned on the air conditioner when we were there. Of course, it was maybe 80 degrees with low humidity, so it's kind of funny, but we were a little warm. But they turn on the air conditioner, and this circulates air through the building. It's not really an air conditioner, but it pulls air from this pit that's down below. And it is quite a bit cooler, and I thought that was pretty neat. So they found a use for that. In addition, of course, they've converted just this portion to a baptistry. but the rest of it is used as a place to obtain cooler air. And then I saw something amazing, and it took a while to see it, and that is a tired Ted Bowen. You've never seen a tired Ted Bowen. I don't know why or how Ted could work so long and not get tired. There were times that I had to just sneak off and go to the bathroom and not really go, but just go in and lock the door. I need a break. I need to sit down. I don't need anybody seeing me take a break, because Ted never takes a break. This is Jean-Philippe, Jean's son. They have two children, and Jean-Philippe is 17. Miriam is a little bit older, but he helped a lot, has done a lot. And then Renald. This man's name is Renald. This is the first time we've seen him or met him. He wasn't there last year. I put a picture on here. I would have enlarged the picture, but I didn't think you could handle that large of a picture of Steve and Renald. So I just left it that size. When we got there, the next day was Sunday morning, so we had services. And in the sermon, I mentioned that their congregation prays for us, and we had some problems on our trip, and I fully believe their prayers were answered and God helped us. And I mentioned, of course, that we pray for them. So this man comes to me afterwards. He can speak a little English, not much. He comes to me after services, and he starts in trying to tell me something. And I can tell he really wants to tell me something, but he can't. But he can speak little English. I can speak about no French, and so we were struggling. But by the end, what he was telling me was, he said, "I am an answer to your prayers." And he's talking about himself becoming a Christian, finding salvation with this congregation through our prayers. That's what he was telling me. And it was so powerful to me, because partly because he was determined for me to know. And he could have just said, "Well, you know, I can't communicate well enough," but he wouldn't stop. He wanted me to know. And I want you to know that this is what happens when we invest in the gospel and the spread of it. Stop and think about who helped you to become a Christian. I think one thing we struggle with in America is Christianity is too easy, but it's easy. It's prevalent. It's available. It's respectable here. It's not respectable near so much in Canada. It's not really respectable. It's not maybe widely hated, but it's not respected like it is here. It's not easy. And so for him to find salvation was not easy. And he's really grateful. And then the odd thing we discovered. So early on, of course, Renald worked with us while we were there. And of course, Steve's, you know, being goofy with him. And I'm thinking, "Steve, he doesn't understand what you're doing." Okay? So I thought he's bothering. I kind of worried about that a little bit. Next thing I know, I turn around, and this Renald guy is just as goofy as Steve is. And it's like the Three Stooges, but there's only two of them, and they're giving it back and forth to each other the whole time. And I swear it's his twin brother from another mother in another country, and it was something. I want to show you just an aerial shot where the church building is. Church building's bottom left where the arrow's pointing. All these white dots... This is this RV park. A lot of those units are permanent. Some of those units are temporary. People come here to live for weeks and months. This was taken about 3 or 4 years ago, about 4 or 5. This is an old photo. That park has expanded since then. And you need to know that all the white dots, there are about 3 or 4 or 5 units per one of the white ones. They're not all white. That's a lot of dwellings. That's a lot of people that are right down the road. If I could hit a golf ball like I'd like to, I could hit a golf ball there. Okay? It's not far. And to realize that salvation, the church there has it. They have it for the people that need it. This is a picture of the, one of the codes was to put a boundary around the baptistry so no one accidentally falls in and gets hurt. And so John talked to us about these doors. If you were here the day he came, he had sandblasted, etched scriptures on these doors. And so that's they light up. And the stage has been coated. The stage has been sealed. It's really beautiful. But what I think is special is what it means, is the meaning of it. Salvation in Christ through baptism. And on those doors are the words to life. And the church there has it. And they're a light to the community. It's exciting to me that they have what the people need. Scripture, John 6:66. Jesus had people deserting him, and he turns to his disciples. Verse 67, "Do you want to go away as well?" Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, whom shall we go? You have the words to eternal life, and we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God." So it's exciting to me in a community where Christianity is not strong, the words to eternal life are there, and they're spreading. This is a picture of us worshiping that morning. It's kind of neat to worship in a building with the doors open, the sun shining in. People coming in to worship is neat to see. It's special to see because as a sister congregation, a couple years ago, they couldn't do that. Steve taught, Jean translated class, Ted did Lord's Supper, and I did the sermon. And that's a neat thing to worship with the church there. I cannot tell you how excited they are when we come. How excited they are for what we have helped them to do. They can't really communicate it as well as they'd like, but they make it clear to us. This man at the front of the picture in the red and white checkered shirt, he comes and sits down by me. The services had already started. We were singing, what have you. But he comes and sits down next to me. I assume he's one of their members. He turns to me, of course, and says something in French. And I turn to him, and I didn't know what he was saying. So we didn't really communicate at first. We did a little bit later. But come to find out, that was his first day there. And he had learned about the church being there. He has a different church background. But he came that morning, and John has started a relationship with him. So that was kind of exciting for someone to be there that day seeking out the church because of what we've helped them to accomplish. I want to tell you again, part of what we do is to breathe life into our missionaries. John, this is Anne, John's wife. Of course, she crochets, and we all come home with something crocheted. Steve has a hat that's red and white, and if you see somebody on a moped that looks like Where's Waldo, that is your brother in Christ, Steve Hess, with what Ann crocheted for him. They get so excited, and I think it gives them such a boost for us to come. And this is just a picture that of John, his face. This captures it for me. The life and energy that we breathe into them by going. This is their family. And so we need to keep praying for them. This is a young couple that we got to know just a little bit while we were there. They're a young married couple. She's expecting their first child. And so we gave them a little baby shower. They don't have, I don't know if they have the customs exactly like we do, but when we were there as a group, we put a little money together. And we gave them a few things, but one of the things was a food processor, and they were really excited. She wants to make baby food for the baby, and that was one of the things that she was wanting. And so it was exciting to kind of interact with them. This man, his name is Carol. He was in the Canadian military for a number of years, commando. A really neat man. And so he had been coming to church for a while. He wasn't a member yet. He's come out, he spent some time with Jehovah's Witness and then come to realize what they're teaching isn't what he reads in the Bible. And so he's seeking Christianity that goes by this. He worked with us. And we thought he was going to be baptized when we were there. And he was close. But one comment he made, one thing that was kind of holding him up at the end, his dad, who's not a Christian, but his dad told him, his dad said, "Are you sure they're not a sect?" S-E-C-T. That's part of what they struggle with in Canada. Are you sure they're not some strange group? And so that's what he had to work through. But just this last week, we got word that Carol was baptized. And so that's really exciting for us to see that. I have a couple video clips to show you. This one's just a few. This one's just about 20 seconds long. The next one's about 3 minutes. this is John just making a statement about the struggles of working on this building project. And so I'll play this one for you.
And I said, when these things happen, you know, when these obstacles came, and sometimes they were like, you see a thing like this on the face, I finally said, I don't care. This is God's project. Mm-hmm. It will be fulfilled. This is not our project.
I thought that was neat. And this was during, we had a little devotional time, so a handful of their members and our group of 11. And what he said was all the obstacles he faced, it really was hard, but then he finally realized, hey, this is about God. This is God's project. And after that, you could tell he wasn't as concerned because this is God's project and it will be fulfilled. I thought that was powerful. And then his son, Jean-Philippe, who... he's a really neat kid. Like I said, he's 17. He goes to school there. A couple things I've learned about him. There in school, he's the only Christian. He's the only Christian of any church. And so he's looked at differently. He's treated differently. He's teased a little bit. His dad being a preacher and building a building in town makes it worse. And so it's hard. He's an outcast in his school system. You imagine, you know, young people, imagine if you were the only Christian of any kind in your school. And so that's where he is. And he's pretty shy. He's more shy than I knew. I've come to find out. But there came a time. So in this devotional, Jean asked us. So Steve, spoke a few thoughts. Ted did, and I did, and then Jean did. And then came a time that Jean-Philippe, on the spot, I've backed it up so you'll see it. You'll see him turn to his dad, and on the spot, he wants to say something. And then so he spoke to the group.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Oui. Ok, ben, en fait, ça s'adresse plus à nous ici, au Québec, les gens de la place.
It's more about the Quebecers, he says.
What he was going to say would be more for the Quebec people there.
Moi, étant jeune étudiant, j'expérimente beaucoup c'est quoi le monde à chaque jour quand je vais à l'école.
As a student, I experiment a lot what it is to live in the world.
Puis, des fois, les gens savent pas que je suis chrétien, par exemple.
And sometimes people don't know that I'm Christian.
Mais quand ils le savent,
sometimes they don't know he's a Christian.
Je sais pas si c'est comme ça pour les autres gens ici, vu que c'est au Québec, c'est plus difficile. Mais je me sens un petit peu comme une mauvaise herbe.
And when they know it, I have the impression that I am some kind of weed.
Mais some kind of what?
A weird weed.
Okay. Mais pas une mauvaise herbe.
When they find out he's a Christian,
but not a bad weed.
Oui.
So they think he's some kind of weed.
J'ai oublié, je cherchais le nom d'une mauvaise herbe que je n'ai pas réussi à trouver.
I was looking for a kind of weed that I never found.
Mais c'est une mauvaise herbe qui est extrêmement importante, qui est médicinale, qui peut sauver des vies.
But it's a weed that looks bad that can save lives.
Ces mauvaises herbes-là sont très 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 enracinées.
And these bad weeds are very deeply rooted.
Puis avec ce bâtiment-là, on peut sentir qu'on s'enracine très, très, très bien au Québec.
And with this building, we have the impression that we are pretty much deep-rooted, deeply rooted.
Mm-hmm. Fait que même quand les gens commencent à nous voir comme quelque chose d'inutile qu'il faut arracher.
And when some people have the impression that, or say that we are a kind of weed that we have to pick up,
pull out, ben ils sont pas capables parce que pour eux on est des sauveurs de leur vie.
And they are not able because we are some saviors of their lives.
Parce que sans nous, leur vie sont perdues.
Because without us, their lives are lost.
Puis, des fois, ça peut être difficile, la vie d'une mauvaise herbe.
Sometimes the life of a bad weed can be hard.
Parce que les gens ne voient pas comme la rose dans leur jardin.
Because the people don't see us like the rose in their garden. Mm.
Mais pourtant, on est vraiment le plus important qu'ils peuvent le penser.
However, we are more important than we can even think.
Puis nous autres, notre travail, c'est de continuer à rester dans le jardin.
And our work is to keep on to stay in the garden.
C'est ce que je veux dire.
His first sermon.
That's true.
I hope you could understand all that. He said when he's in school that a lot of times they don't know he's a Christian. When they find out he's a Christian, they think he's strange, like a strange weed, and like their church and their group that needs to be plucked. And he said, but they can't pluck us because we're deeply rooted. And even though we're a bad weed, we have the way to salvation. They may not like us, but we can help to save them. He said, it's hard sometimes being a weed. It's hard, but we have to keep on because they need salvation. And I thought that was so. And his mom and dad, his dad said it, that was his first sermon. He's never spoken before their group of 15 or 20 people ever in church. And it was really powerful for him to speak up like that. And it reminded me that our job is to win as many as possible. We hold the words to eternal life. And in life, life isn't about us. It's about God's word. It's about salvation. It's about the church growing. And so I wanted to remind you that was inspiring to me. The future of the church there, he's a lot of the future to me. There's a lot of good in that young man. And it was special for us to see that. And it was inspiring. So I want to remind you, our job is to spread the gospel. We help them there. We are a blessing to them. And we need to help in this community here. This week, we'll have some opportunity to say something to someone else to shine our light brighter. Don't forget to do that. We're going to sing a song, Have Thine Own Way, Lord. And just a reminder, if you're here this morning and you're not walking with God and you know you're not right with God, we'd love to help you become a Christian, pray for you. And also, this song reminds me, God wants me to help reach someone else. That's God's will. I need to let Him do that. So if you have a need, please come while we stand and sing.
Will you live for Jesus and be on with your good? Will you walk with Him within the narrow road? Will you shine and pray for Him and carry all your own? Let Him have His way with thee. His fire can make you what you ought to be. You've been in service, labor, all.